not for his own sin. He was guiltless. He was not guilty of sin. But he did die for sin. Not because of it, but for it. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It's kind of fun to ask, how many people have been healed and see hands go up all over the place? Oh, we've done it lots and lots of times. Lots of people. You know, and I'm thrilled. You know, God changes lives here at this church. Amen. I'm thankful for that. People get baptized and sins remitted in the name of Jesus in this church. Amen. People receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues in this church. And just like those other supernatural spiritual things, people get miraculously healed in the name of Jesus Christ in this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said of believers in Mark chapter 16, verse number 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's a part of the process. Amen. We believe what God said in His Word. I believe it. I believe it. I have been healed in my body. Hurting. Oh, it hurts so bad. My back hurts so bad. I had a slipped disc. Oh, I couldn't bend over and touch. I couldn't pick up a piece of paper on the floor. I couldn't hardly bend over and to the table to pick up a cup of coffee. You know, it was awesome. It was terrible. And then in church, God healed my back. And I'm not the only one. We've seen lots of healings. Praise the Lord. God healed my... In fact, pretty soon I'm going back to the... In fact, I'm going to step right on out. You know, God did great stuff in me, okay? I had a 12% functioning heart. It was called advanced heart failure. The doctor was really concerned. Spent some days in the intensive care heart unit. You know, I was sitting up talking to my wife. They were really concerned. Well, we don't normally have people like you here. But I believe God is going to take care of me. If God takes me out of here and I die, God's going to take care of me. At no point was I ever afraid. I wasn't fearful. You know, it was God is going to take care of me. I mean, I'm absolutely confident of that. And then a little while later, some process of time, they went and tested me again. The first test they did after that, the functioning, they measure my heart again. It went from 12% to like 62% or something. It was above the average healthy male. So I had a better functioning heart than most people. Yeah, I went to physical therapy a few times. I took some pills, but I know it was God that healed me. And I'm not against doctors, okay? I go to the doctor if I need to, and sometimes I do need them. They practice medicine. We'll try this and we'll try that, and sometimes it works. But I tell you, my God knows how to heal. Amen. It's just for sure. The next portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 16. Oh, I just read that one. How about James chapter 5, verse 14? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You know, that is what we do when we have prayer and people come up, get anointed with oil. We, every time, all the time, in every case, everyone that is allowed to come up here and pray for people is going to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Every time, without exception. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It does do good to pray and seek his face. Amen. God really does hear our prayers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel like we could put another 14 verses in our articles of faith on healing. We're a little light. We're a little light on our scriptures. But I'm going to move on. But just in case you didn't know, I believe in healing. Amen. If you've seen hundreds, and I mean multiples of hundreds of people get healed, wouldn't you believe in healing? Over and over and over and over and over and over. I believe in healing. Praise the Lord. No doubt about it. No question. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, another awesome topic is the next portion of our discussion, sacrament or communion. We're going to do that in just a few more weeks. We're going to teach on it more. And we're also kind of light on our scriptures, on our articles of faith in this subject as well. It could be expanded upon because this is a very important part of our walk with God. Amen. It's more than just a tradition. It's not just a tradition. It's scripturally commanded. Scriptures tell us to do this. And if people, if churches, if organizations, if individuals are choosing not to do this, and we're going to read some scripture, if they're choosing not to observe this portion of scripture, they are withholding themselves from commanded direction in Scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. On the night of our Lord's betrayal, he ate the Passover supper with his apostles, after which he instituted the sacrament. Luke chapter 22, verse number 19 and 20. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Get this now. He tells those that are following him, his disciples, this do in remembrance of me. He was telling them, not asking them. He wasn't saying, oh, I think it might be a good suggestion. Oh, if you feel like it. No, none of those things were in this description in Scripture. It says, this do in remembrance of me. So it is a commandment in Scripture that we do this. I take it very personally. For me, it's very emotional. It's very spiritual. It's a time that I renew my commitment before God. I remember what He did for me. And I purposefully, willingly, and obediently follow His command. Luke 22, verse 20, the very next verse, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You see, I don't want to take for granted. I don't want to take, flippantly. Oh, yeah, there are churches. There are institutions, places of worship that would give a sacrament and communion every service to everybody who will take it. See, I don't want it to be so granted, so taken for granted that I wouldn't take it reverently, that I wouldn't take it with great care, great respect, having great honor, reverence for the Lord and what He did. He gave His flesh, He gave His blood, that we might be saved. Amen. Paul instructed the church how to observe it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Again, He was giving by example and as a token and in remembrance of what He did for us. Thus was instituted the use of literal bread and the fruit of the vine, which are partaken of literally as emblems of His broken body, so that unleavened wafer, that sinless, it's a representation of the sinless body of Jesus that was given for us. They are emblems of His broken body and of His shed blood. Oh, the precious blood. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There is also a spiritual significance and blessing in partaking of the sacrament. I think by us taking it together as we do and in remembering how we remember Him with great respect and great honor, with great care, as we take it together in just a few more weeks, we're going to be taking communion on a Wednesday night, the Wednesday before Easter, and directly in front of or during our time of prayer and fasting, and a week before our revival with Brother Crowder, we are preparing ourselves that God may use us. Amen. God is able to do wondrous works. And God don't need me to do great things. But when I will humble myself and pray and seek His face, amen, it's I that become more sensitive to Him. Anybody want to be used to God? Amen. Praise the Lord. I do. Praise the Lord. In the next portion, and again, we'll do this on that same day, foot washing. It's a part of our articles of faith that we believe what scriptures say. And this too is commanded. We're told to do this. When the Passover supper was ended, we read in John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself, or he wrapped it around himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he wrapped the towel around, washed their feet, and took the towel off and wiped dry their feet. Jesus said, John chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, If I then, your Lord and Master, and it was a traditional function of a servant to do this chore, but yet the Master, Jesus, was the one performing this function. It was completely out of character for his day. He wasn't following anyone else's tradition here. He was setting an example for his followers, for us, for me. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Again, I don't see in this text where it says maybe or might or sometimes or if you feel like it. Jesus didn't speak like that. He said, I've given you an example and I want you to do it too. I want you to also do this to one another. Verse 15, For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. So really, he is just reiterating, he's just putting emphasis, he's just restating what he already said, that he wants us to do it also. See, the first example was given by our Lord, and it is a divine institution. It is well to follow His example and to wash one another's feet, thus manifesting the spirit of humility. I don't know anybody who thinks their feet look good. Not one single person. Nobody. I got ugly feet. Why do you laugh? But you might be one like me. It's not about how your feet look. Are you willing to humble yourself to the point that you would obey what Jesus told us to do? I am humbled when I submit myself to God. When I allow myself to be aligned with the Word of God. Amen. You see, it teaches my spirit. It teaches my flesh. It helps me to trust God. Amen. When I obey Him. Praise the Lord. And again, you know, we have in the past taught a whole Wednesday night on, for years, a whole Wednesday night on communion and a whole Wednesday night on foot washing. And then I'll teach on it that night and we perform those things and do it together with great care and a special servant attitude. And God blesses us. It brings us together as a church family, because we together are trusting and believing and obeying the Word of God. It's special. Amen. And I very much like it like that. I want it to be special. Amen. Praise the Lord. Next portion of Scripture. I am going so very slowly. I am not going to get through 7 pages, Sister Greeley. Okay. Holiness. Godly living should characterize the life of every child of the Lord. And we should live according to the pattern and example given in the Word of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It's scriptural to be holy. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2, or chapter 2, verse 21, 21, 22, and 23, 3 verses. For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. From Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. There is good reason for holiness. I want to see God. I want to be saved. You know, there are places of worship that would say it doesn't matter. Oh, God looks on the heart. And oh, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Yes, we should, to the very best of our ability, follow the Scriptures to the very largest extent of our understanding. And holiness is important because God is holy. Be ye holy. Amen. We wholeheartedly disapprove of our people indulging in any activities which are not conducive to good Christian and godly living, such as theaters, dances, mixed bathing or swimming, women cutting their hair, makeup, any apparel that immodestly exposes the body, all worldly sports and amusements, unwholesomeness or unwholesome television, movies, games, computer programs, and radio programs and music. We admonish all of our people to refrain from any of these practices in the interest of spiritual progress and the soon coming of our Lord for His church. And again, our articles of faith may be lacking. Man, we could load this section up with scriptural examples of God wanting us to be holy. It's good for us in our spirit to separate ourselves from ungodliness. I'm not against the computer. I'm not against technologies. I'm not against use of modern day functions. But it is so easy in our world to get caught up in ungodly things because it is so readily available in our day like no other day before us. So separating ourselves unto God and believing God to help us to be holy because He is holy, we separate ourselves from ungodly things and ungodly activities and ungodly programs and ungodly examples because of our effort to be holy. It's not because the pastor makes me. No, I'm not. I can't make you do nothing. I don't have no badge. I'm not showing up at anybody's house to do any inspections either. That's just not going to happen. That's not who I am. But I would advocate that you love the Lord enough to separate yourself from ungodly things. It pleases God to be holy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. And from John chapter 1, verse number 7, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Amen. It's God's grace that allows me to be saved. It's not because I'm good. It's because He is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. A Christian must walk with God and keep himself in the love of God. From Jude chapter 21, we're going to read there in just a moment. And in the grace of God, when a person transgresses and sins against God and does not repent, he will eventually be lost and cast into the lake of fire. John 15:2 and verse 6, 2 Peter 2, verses 20 to 21. We're going to read those in just a moment. Jude speaks of the backsliders of his day and their reward. Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6. We'll read that as well. Just like the days of the writing of the word, we need the grace of God to be saved. Amen. It's the same today. We need the grace of God to be saved. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And from John chapter 15, verse number 2, and then verse 6. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Let me pause for just a moment. I want my branches to bear something. I've burned a lot of sticks in my wood stove. And I don't want to end up like that. No way. God, let there be, God, let me bear some fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Get this now. And every branch that beareth fruit, this is awesome. If you are bearing good stuff for God, guess what? He purgeth it. Trimming. You know, the real good arborist, they really know what they're doing. They go out there and clip little pieces off that, leave the main part and leave the healthy branches and all those little sucker things, all the little things off the side that ain't going to produce anything. Clip, clip, clip. All the parts of my life that aren't helping my walk with God, all those pieces of my life that aren't bringing me closer to God, guess what? Jesus, snip that one off, would you? He purgeth it. There's things in my life that the world thinks is just fine, but God may want to, no, you don't need to be doing that. No, we don't need to go there anymore. Yeah, we got to cut that relationship off. God purges us. Even when we do bear fruit, God helps us to bear more fruit. Amen. That it may bring forth more fruit. Verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I don't want to end up in that place. God help me to bear fruit. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, they go back to the world, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than in the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. I know too much about how good God is to live any other way. This is the only choice available to me. Amen. I want to live for Jesus Christ every day for the rest of my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I had hoped to get a little farther, but that's okay. We got a man coming up right behind me next Wednesday. He's going to pick up right where I'm leaving off. Would you stand with me? Praise the Lord. We'll pick up Andre at restitution of all things. Okay? Praise the Lord. We'll continue with our articles of faith and future. We'll take a little break there. We're going to teach on communion and foot washing, and we're going to do foot washing, and we're going to have a revival service. So we're going to take a little break in there, but we're going to get through this in due time. Amen. It's good, good stuff. It's the Word of God. Amen. I believe the Word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we ask even right now, Lord, that your will would be accomplished in our lives. Lord, that you would do according unto your word in us. Lord, help us. Lord, by your grace. Lord, by your healing. Lord, by your holiness. Lord, that all things would be put together in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we would serve you. Help us, Lord, to do it, to live it, to be a part of you and your body, the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
What is mixed? What is mixed babies?